When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The voice of Husker Nation is on the air. This is Hail Varsity Radio. Insight, opinion, expertise, along with the biggest names talking Nebraska sports. Join in with the show at 402-489-1240 or 1-800-825-5865. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and Elijah Herbel.
Welcome to it Mondays here at Hail Varsity. We're powered by Cornhead Lager. Chris Schmidt, Connor Clark, Elijah still on his Colorado adventure. We don't know, can't confirm if he's just going to wear last year's Denver Wilson jersey or if he's going to buy the new slash throwback Denver 2024 Wilson jersey. Hope you had a good weekend. Plenty to talk about. How did Saturday go? Glowing from Matt Rhule. We'll have a Rhule rewind coming up here on today's show. We'll hear from the head coach from Saturday's comments. Husker baseball, a winning weekend. Good for the Big Red as they down Maryland emphatically yesterday. Part of the Husker radio team, David Gustafson, dear friend and former partner, going to join us here in about 15 minutes to talk some Husker baseball. Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, in hour two to get us kicked off. We'll talk third down defense, a topic of discussion per Matt Rhule, and get Uncle Charlie's thoughts. Jay Moore, it is NFL draft week. Mr. Moore heard his name in the fourth round just a few years back, so Blackshirt Jay Moore with us in hour two. Plenty of room for you. If you want to join at 489-1240, 489-1240, 800-825-5865 across the Hail Varsity Radio Network. Always watch the show. Catch us on the YouTube channel, Hail Varsity YouTube channel. Like and subscribe there and different platforms as well, Facebook and Twitter, Hail Varsity Radio Twitter handle. Give that a follow at HVarsity Radio at Schmidt underscore radio for me, Chris Schmidt at C underscore Clark underscore 27 for one Connor Clark as he is counting down. He's about to get paroled into the real world and off to pro baseball. Connor, how was the weekend? Any day parties? Lots of studying, final projects? How did you handle yourself?
It was pretty good. I would say definitely no day parties. It wasn't warm enough for that. But I went to the baseball game on Friday night, and that was fun. It was pretty crowded, despite it being, you know, a little bit cloudy, a little bit chilly. But you know, it is what it is. You definitely experience worse. So that was a good time. Got to see a lot of people on Saturday night too, and just kind of hung out. Started digging into the never-ending black hole that is Salt Dog player bios the 75-page media guide that will be available prior to opening day. So there's a lot of work to be done before May 10th, and I'm going to blink, and it's going to be here. So we're just kind of taking it, I don't even want to say day by day. I'm going to say more so hour by hour.
Say it. Say day by day.
But the weekend was good. It was relaxing, and ready for another very busy 5 days, probably.
Should be good. Programming note, we are on the road Thursday. We're at the Single Barrel in the Graduate, 9th and P. Come see us. Come say what's up. Roadshow Thursday, 4 to 6. And then pregame, getting you ready for the spring game back at the Single Barrel from 10 to 8. 10 to 8, Saturday morning. Live roadshow. Excited to be down there again with our dear friends at the Single Barrel. Amazing steaks and whiskey and all sorts of good eats and a great atmosphere. So check us out Thursday and on Saturday morning. Make sure you get up to the Herdat Sports Bar and Grill Friday. 5:30 is when things get kicked off for the Team Jack event. Amir Abdullah, Kenny Bell, Nate Gary. Awesome dudes. Loving to be a part of Team Jack, and they will be there for you. So get your tickets purchased that way. All proceeds go to Team Jack, and that is a Friday must-do for you up at the Herdat Sports Bar and Grill at 5:30. Email Chris at HaleVarsity.com. We survived prom.
I was going to ask about that.
Junior's prom. So Junior's prom was fun. He went to a country club that we are not members of. He still got reservations somehow, and had dinner with his buddies, their dates, met his date and her mom, awesome folks. And long and short of it, Junior thought it would be a great idea to gather his buddies and the dates for a picture, right? You want individual pictures, and you want a group picture, and every mom and dad are out there snapping photos on the old digital phone. And what happens? Well, Junior didn't do the math that people are playing. People are golfing in mid-50 degree cloud over days at this course because it's incredible.
First of all, respect to those people.
They are. Well, Junior gets out there, and everyone's taking pictures, and it's not a five-minute drive-through car wash picture show.
No.
It lingers. It gathers. As we were walking down to this location over the water where it's safe, where I never land off the tee box, you know, I could hear when we started walking down, the outdoor speakers had Stairway to Heaven playing. Led Zeppelin Classic, 7 minutes, 46 seconds. Let's just say they were probably on When the Levee Breaks, if we're doing album rock. Mm. And you know where Zeppelin starts with Stairway. It's track 4, all right? It's a 7-minute wonderful rendition. You know it, I hope. But then you get to When the Levee Breaks and you're coming back up after pictures. That's damn near 40 minutes. Maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but the point is
I believe you.
You have, I'll say this, Coach Erstad was wonderful, but he was on the box. So he zooms up at his golf cart, and I'm like, oh no. And he's got shades on, because you know how intense Erstad can be. Kind of nods approvingly, and then just speeds off to the clubhouse. But I think Junior and his buddies kept the mayor, Hoiberg, from teeing off.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it was stacked. You had Erstad, and then you had Fred. So it's like, hurry the hell up, Junior.
I wonder what it feels like to get hit by a Fred Hoiberg-driven golf ball. Probably not great.
I would have hit. Oh, I couldn't have made it that far. I can't tee off well. But there are some folks that would have dispersed the picture-taking with the tee shot, the warning shot, so to speak.
Yeah.
So
I saw them on Facebook. Look great.
Yeah. You know,
well done.
Yeah. Happy for him. He needs to learn how to hang his suit up. It's crumpled up in the mudroom. And we got into a little argument because I wasn't really about giving him a curfew. He's earned some trust from me.
Yeah.
And of course, Mama Bear's like, no, he needs a curfew. It's like he's going to blow through it anyway, and then we're going to end up grounded him.
Yeah.
So he got home around 4.
It's prom night.
It is.
Just let him go. Let him go.
You need bail money, you call me, not your mother.
Yeah.
Let's get into the starting five. The first five into the StreamYard, we shout out. Appreciate you all tuning in on the network and on the Hale Varsity YouTube channel. Mr. Snitley, Jeff Snitley, in part of the Boulder Peace Treaty. He is in. Roger checks in. And Roger promptly says, Colorado has broken the transfer portal. Ralphie is next. Black Hills Brennan is here. Matthew says, what's up? KG in. Just KG, but not that KG from the NBA. He is in fourth. So good to have you. You've got Brandon checking in. Brent is here. Patrick, Shane, Husker, Nutter, 91. Good to have you. He says, howdy, y'all. And NASCAR Eric says, what's up? Anonymous is in.
Still waiting for the howdy nerds.
Well, we'll get from Moonbot here briefly, I think. Anonymous says, when the levee breaks is only 8 minutes. I know. But if they're playing Zeppelin 4 from Stairway That's track four to track eight, which is when the levee breaks.
Mm-hmm.
You do the 7 minutes. You do Misty Mountain Hop. You do going to California. And then I think you get to when the levee breaks. So that's well over 36 minutes of music, I believe. Hold my tux jacket. I need to hit some shots back. Thank you, Roger. Ascent says, what's up? What's up? So, and Scott says, if we die, we die. So Scott's all about getting onto the golf course and taking prom picks. That's pretty good. Oh, I like it.
That motto has been used for so many other things than
football. It's so good.
It's fantastic.
It's so good. And then you get the sound bite. So we'll dive in. How did the spring session go? You can take Rule's word for it, and that's most important. Again, making a few calls to folks. Anonymous did the math, 32 minutes from stairway to when the levee breaks, so I was a little over, but it's still Anonymous. If we're holding up Erstad and Hoiberg taking tee shots, that's too long. That's 5 minutes too long.
Yeah,
before security/clubhouse may be called. Things worked out okay. It was a good night for Junior and his buddies and their dates. So when we talk Nebraska football, I think it's fair to say Saturday was Dylan's day. Dylan Raiola.
Sure looked like it based on that video.
Sure, and if you want to pull up the offense, the comment here from Rule, let's give you a little context from Matt Rule on Saturday. And, you know, he's not one to throw out pats on the back just all the time. He's pretty measured and pretty real with his praise. But here is Rule on just how good a day it was for the offense. Didn't really single out any quarterbacks. They all performed well, but some of the information we have on what Dylan did, we'll tell you in a second. But here's Rule on the offense.
Yeah, I mean, this was the most dominant day we've had on offense ever. I mean, this is the first time we've ever at practice. I mean, the first time ever, like, I don't know, might have been 8, 9, 10, 12 touchdowns out there today. So explosive plays, big plays. I think we had one fumble late, you know, with the threes. But I thought the ball was protected. Now, in all fairness, now we're not hitting the quarterback, and I'm letting a lot of plays extend. So we might go back and say, well, that would have been a sack. You know, I don't want to sound the alarm. It's just, you know, the ability to throw and catch the ball and guys making catches, making plays after the catch has been good. You know, we didn't run the ball. We had one long explosive run, but on offense, by far the best day we've ever had since I've been here.
So that is fact. That is what he saw. That's what he took in. And you can go, awesome. Nebraska's closer steps to complimentary football, Connor. Or, oh no, what's wrong with the defense? Brother, I think you look at it this way. It's the offense doing things. And I'll shut up in 2 seconds. Those that saw continue to reiterate that Dylan Raiola, extremely impressive, a quarterback that Nebraska's not had, right? There was a little Mahomes tribute, an underhand throw on a extended scramble in the red zone that Nayer caught for a touchdown, and it was broken plays. It was Raiola on the move, under pressure, extending plays, one of which turned into an 80-yard touchdown to Lloyd.
Yeah.
So it's your stud-armed quarterback that's bigger than a lot of freshmen that are playing quarterback, that's on the move, that's making plays. And on top of that, Nebraska's emphasis this spring with Glenn Thomas has been that short and intermediate route. What did Rule talk about with third downs, which we'll get into? Can you D somebody up on third and medium? Or do you wear the hell out of a defense on third and medium because they have no answer with your bunch routes or your short game? If you don't want to run the football, or you want to throw as a extension of your run game, the short passing game, Nebraska, at least based on a Saturday scrimmage, has a guy in Dylan Raiola that can complete the short, can complete the intermediate, and absolutely kept plays alive, zero turnovers, with the extended play for an 80-yard touchdown. And in a red zone fire drill goes Mahomes with an underhand and scores a touchdown. It's music to Nebraska fans' ears in this instance that listen, you're taking steps to being a football team that can rely on an offense if this continues to blossom, while you have a rock solid defense and you put that together with some competent special teams play, the good things can and will happen. That's been a formula for success at Nebraska for years. Killer defense, just explosive, and quite honestly, competent offense that is consistent. That's good things. That's good things for the fall if this carries over.
I'm really excited to see, and you mentioned the broken plays. Now, obviously, I didn't watch the scrimmage because it was closed, but the broken plays that we've seen from quarterbacks and how they've gotten out of it over the last handful of years. You think of Adrian. You even think of Jeff Sims a couple of times last year. It's all been with the legs.
Yes.
I'm excited to see. We all know Dylan Raiola has a big arm, and you kind of got a glimpse of it in some of the practice clips from a couple of weeks ago. You got it in a couple of clips from this past scrimmage and that little edit that they put together. You mentioned that 80-yard touchdown to Jalen Lloyd. I'm really excited to see what that looks like because, again, we all know that Dylan can sling it down the field. And honestly, we know that Kalen can kind of sling it too mm-hmm. down the field as well from what we've seen. So I'm excited to see that. What can that bring to the offense? Because, again, I mean, Adrian was an escape artist with his legs. Jeff Sims had a huge escape artist touchdown in Boulder with his legs. So I'm really excited to see if Dylan can do that. Now, obviously, I want him to be able to run, but if he can escape things with his arm, that could open up a lot, I think, in this offense and kind of leave everybody, especially in that box area, guessing about, okay, they're going to go to the air, or he's going to scramble. How are we going to stop this? That's something Nebraska hasn't had in a while.
Is your balance very real? Can you run it? Can you run it? Can you run it when you want to? And it'll have a better shot now that you got to respect the pass. David Gustafson and Husker Baseball next.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
More thoughts from Coach Rhule and the Saturday scrimmage. We'll hear from Will Bolt. A big weekend for the Big Red, part of the Nebraska baseball broadcast and alumni of Hail Varsity Radio. Love talking to him. One-time partner in crime, David Gustafson, with us. Gus, good weekend at the ballpark, bud. Thanks for a few minutes. How are you?
I'm doing well, yeah. It was a nice weekend at the ballpark. Maybe not the best weather on Friday, but thought it was a pretty nice day, and boys went and got two of the three, so that was good because they needed some confidence after a little rough patch for them there.
It was a little rough, and I want to get your thoughts. You've seen Nebraska a handful of times this year on the mic, and let's go back to yesterday, and let me just ask this. As you're settling in, what were you expecting on the rubber match day?
Well, it's kind of – we felt good going into it because we kind of felt like it was an opposite, a reversal of what we saw at Rutgers, where they lost two of the three there at Rutgers. We had a good feeling about going into yesterday, and if we knew if Will Walsh could get into the game, four or five – plus innings, which he had yesterday, then they felt pretty good because the bullpen was completely ready to go. So mm-hmm. they had no issues there. So if once he got going through a few innings and, of course, Big Red starts to put on some runs, then you feel really good about it. And it was good to get Tyler Stoll back yesterday as well. He's a two-run shot, and the first was kind of a nice little shot into your arm there where then everybody else started to relax, felt pretty good about what was going to happen, and it was just a great day at the ballpark.
Talk about the turnaround from Game 2 to Game 3, because obviously both lopsided scores, one going each way for either team. How does Nebraska respond to that? Obviously, run-ruling Maryland in that rubber match. Was that more so of like a, hey, we've been here before, let's go out and take it type thing? Or what is your read on how different those two games were?
Well, I think it's the game's over, right? So you just move on to the next day. There's a lot of work to be done. You're trying to win the weekend series, right? That's your goal as you go into the Big Ten play. Every weekend is to win it. Yeah, sure, you'd love to sweep, but it's hard to sweep. So there was still an achievable goal in front of them. So they just moved on and went on to the next day because you can't go back and dwell on what happened the day before. Maryland hit the ball well, and you got beat. So go back figure out a few things of what you'd like to change, and they had a little better approach to plate yesterday. But that's a pretty resilient Nebraska team, and they don't get too flustered with losses like that. They don't like them, obviously, but they don't get too flustered with it. They just move on to the next day and go about what they need to have done.
Part of the Husker baseball broadcast, David Gustafson with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Gus, a thought with Nebraska, and you mentioned that energy and their approach at the plate. They took batting practice. I know Coach Bolt talked a little bit about that. Just their energy was different yesterday in a good way. They seemed pretty locked in. 10-21 with runners in scoring position. They were 5 for 39 their previous four games heading into to yesterday's win. Took advantage of some of those errors. But what's your take on this offense? What is a normal day for them? They went for 16 runs yesterday. That's not normal, although it could be against some Big Ten pitching. But what can be a good sweet spot for this offense moving forward?
You know, this is a team that can put 6, 7, 8 runs up pretty easily, unless they're running into a guy who's really got good command. And I wouldn't say it was great command, but it was off-speed stuff on Saturday that kind of got them a little bit off, back on their heels, just a hair. So they changed that approach going into Sunday a little bit more, be more aggressive, back to fastball. And, you know, if they get to that 7-run mark, you feel pretty good about this team because they have great pitching, especially on the weekend with those two front guys. And maybe, you know, who knows who is going to take that number 3 guy on Sunday. Maybe Will Walsh will take over there. You know, he looked pretty good yesterday. But so you get 6, 7 runs, put up there, Schmitty, you feel pretty good about the win.
Moving on to next weekend, and I know that Kansas comes to town as well, but you look at that Iowa series, and that's a big one because Iowa's a team that was projected earlier in the year to be pretty good. I know they struggled early on in the season, but you pair a weekend series against a rival, and then you got your horse and Brett Sears going on Friday. I mean, describe the energy in the ballpark when he takes the mound, because I've been to a couple of Friday games in person just as a fan, and it just feels different when he's on the bump versus literally anybody else.
Well, there's a tremendous amount of confidence in him with that team, and they feel really comfortable with him going out Friday night because he's been so consistent. I mean, it's a quality start after a quality start, and there's just a different mood when they know that, you know, Brett Sears is going to be on the mound because they feel that he's going to get them deep into a ball game, get them a chance to win. Usually doesn't give up too many runs, so they know that maybe if they're having a bad night on offensive side, you don't have to have that home, you know, big late rally to win because you got Brett on the bump. So there's a tremendous amount of confidence when he's on the hill, that's for sure.
Gus, as we handicap the Big Ten, Nebraska tied with Purdue right now at 8-4. Michigan a step back at 10-5. Hawkeyes are 9-6. Illinois surprising many at 10-2. Not that they're in that top four per se, but they're 10-2. So as you look at this league race, where do you think Nebraska's strengths lie, and what are some liabilities moving forward? Obviously, this weekend's huge. Tomorrow night's huge.
Well, they're all big, and it's certainly winnable for the Huskers to take the league regular season title. It's attainable. You know, Illinois, they're up there right now. They're going to run into, you know, they go to Maryland. Maryland, at Maryland, will be a little more difficult for them. They have Ohio State at home. They have a hot Iowa, Purdue. So they're going to run into some of the top end. Unfortunately, Nebraska doesn't play them. That would be a fun weekend series if we played Illinois this weekend, or this year, I should say. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Nebraska has a chance to win it. And if they just can continue to go win series after series after series, they're going to be in a very good spot come late May.
Regional-wise, we've seen the projections, and before the little skid happened post-10-game win streak, Nebraska was in some suggestions or some projections to be hosting, very few, but there were a couple out there. The common spots were down to Norman or to Stillwater. What do you think of this club at this point right now from a regional perspective? Are they a 2 seed somewhere in a tough draw, or do you think they can do enough work with the rest of the year to be in that conversation to host?
Well, I think they're at a two right now. And there's certainly a conversation where they can get to a one. Because if you play extremely well the rest of the way through league play here and win the league, you have a very good chance at being a host. And then maybe do a little bit of damage in, you know, wouldn't hurt in a Big Ten tournament either. So I think it's obtainable to get there. There's work to be done for sure. But as of right now, probably a two is where everybody's projecting them on the two line. They have a shot, though, to get to that one, but they're going to have to do some work down here the next 4 weekends.
A thought on the Kansas matchup coming up here tomorrow. Obviously, the first one was just a wild ride back and forth down in Lawrence, 13-11. The Jayhawks won that one. Looking for a little bit of vengeance here, Nebraska is. You mentioned playing well down the stretch. Those midweek games have been a little bit of an Achilles heel. How do they flip that script? Because you also have Creighton and Kansas State in that mix-up as well.
You know, I've done college baseball for almost 20 years now, and the midweek games are always wild. It doesn't matter what stadium you're in, who you're broadcasting for, they're always wild. So expect maybe one of those again tomorrow night. Maybe not the offensive output we saw down in Lawrence. But, you know, I think most importantly is can they get something rolling once again? And that's where the midweek games become important. Because, yeah, it doesn't hurt you for the conference standing if you drop a game to Kansas. But now you get another win on your belt, get some more confidence. Now you got a couple in a row. You won three out of your last four if you can get that win. Going into the weekend, you feel really good about it. So the midweek games are important, I think, more for confidence-wise going into the next weekend, just as though that you're consistently playing well, especially offensively.
Let's talk about Christo, the not-so-obvious hint or suggestion from Will Bolt post-media session yesterday was good shot that you'll probably see Christo tomorrow night. What's your observation been on his season?
He's got moments where he's excellent, great. He's got moments where he doesn't hit his spots, and that kind of gets him in trouble. And that's any pitcher, right? If any pitcher does that, they're going to get themselves hurt by doing that. So he has, I mean, it's a guy who has Friday night stuff, and he's just run into some hiccups this year from time to time. Other times he's been great, so he can dial up his good stuff, which he has. He certainly has it. It could be a very good night tomorrow night for him.
It's a needed night, would you agree? Not just from a win standpoint, but back to the confidence topic.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it would bode well for Nebraska if he had a good night tomorrow night, if he is the one that takes the ball, because they're going to need him. If you want to make a stretch run and win the Big Ten and go into a regional, you're going to need guys like Drew Chrisso for sure.
Brumbaugh, the guy's absolutely on fire, just missed the cycle. I can hear Gus calling it or Ben calling a home run for the cycle that unfortunately didn't happen. The game got shut down because of the mercy rule in college.
Came close. It hit the wall.
No, I know. But Brumbaugh, just speak a moment to the spark he really truly is for this offense.
Well, he's your typical leadoff guy. If you get on, good things happen for your team, usually. And that's what he does. He gets on base. Spark at the top. He's a smart base runner when he's on. And the more he gets on, it just allows Nebraska's offense to set things up the way they want to. Because you have Riley Silva batting second. And if he's there and Brumbaugh's on first, second, typically you're probably going to ask Riley to put that button down. Now you got a runner in scoring position. So he's a spark plug, is Brumbaugh for the offense for sure. And he's just been super consistent all year long. And hopefully that continues the rest of the way.
Can we confirm that Kyle Perry does know the run rule now on getaway day?
Well, full disclosure, we weren't certain on it. We're like, and that's the end? Okay, yes, we were told it was, but then the way the players were reacting, we were like, we think it's over. Yep, it's over. Okay, very good. So, I'm not sure. I'm sure Kyle probably knows by now.
Gus was doing his best Jim Carrey and Liar Liar, and that's the game. I love it. David Gustafson, part of the broadcast team with Nebraska Baseball. Gus, we'll talk again soon. Thanks for making time today, man.
Absolutely. See you guys.
See you, man. There he is, David Gustafson, part of the Husker Broadcast Network, and was on the call this weekend. Appreciate him. We'll have some more thoughts here with Nebraska's scrimmage. Hear from Will Bolt. Nebraska took 2 out of 3 from the Turtle. Tail Varsity, and we're powered by Cornhead Lager.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Thanks to David Gustafson, part of Husker Baseball, with his Spotify, iTunes, Google Play. You want to hear the full interview, catch it again. The podcast platform's right there. Also, the Hail Varsity YouTube channel. It's where you can hear that and catch the show up. Also, Hail Varsity Radio, Twitter at HVarsity Radio. Hearing that Mr. Fiddler is a Spartan, we'll confirm that here briefly. 489-1240 to get in. 800-825-5865. So, hit some baseball. Talked about the scrimmage day Saturday. Big day for Dylan Raiola. Did just a fantastic job of constantly moving the football. And that's short passes, that's intermediate passes, that's extending plays per those who saw. And a little improv for a touchdown to Nair as well. A little Mahomes tribute there. So that's the good news for Nebraska as we hear a little bit more from Matt Rhule and his thoughts on the scrimmage and just where the defense needs to go. Excited to talk about this, too, with Nebraska standouts. Of course, Charlie McBride here next hour, and Jay Moore going to be with us. Get their thoughts on third down defense. Good write-up by Sam McHugh under the World Herald on third down defense. Coach McBride always says you live and die by the blitz. Nebraska brought a lot of heat last year. Third downs weren't always great, and it seemed like third and eight was not good in some big moments. That just kind of reminds how little that margin of error is or was for Nebraska with anemic offense. So you have the quarterbacks that performed well, specifically Raiola. This is Rhule cut two here on the work done by the quarterbacks. There was a 99-yard drive. He didn't tip his hand with who led that drive. But you did have John Wayne time, Connor. It's first and 99 for the offense, but let's hear from Rhule on just what happened with the quarterbacks and the progress they made and how they looked on Saturday.
I thought all three quarterbacks played really well. Yeah, I'd like to watch the tape to be able to talk about specifics, but, you know, we started with the ball with the one, on the minus one with the ones and had a 99-yard drive. We had some, you know, long drives that the quarterbacks excelled at taking what was there. Getting out of, you know, the headset's been, it's transformational. You know, it's transformational what you can do. So, you know, we have guys who are used to doing that, and Sat and Glenn and Garrett. So I thought the quarterbacks all played really well, you know, but again, with young quarterbacks, I have to go back and watch tape, but we run around the pocket with our hand, one hand on the ball, and we get in the game in the season, and all of a sudden those are going to be fumbles, right? You know, again, talking about limiting the low lights, when you can't hit the quarterback, it's hard to tell, but a lot of really good things.
Brian chimes into the stream. After last year, the bar isn't very high. That's fair. But you're getting quarterback coaching here from Glenn Thomas. And when it comes to quarterbacks bouncing back, that's a trait you need to see. You need to know about your quarterback with, all right, when you go 8-22 with three picks and two fumbles, that has happened. Maybe not the 8-22, but you get my point.
It feels like it sometimes.
But how do the quarterbacks respond here after a bad day? Because guess what? There's probably been some bad days on offense this spring. How do you work through it?
I prefer to have it go because, again, I think one of the biggest things that you have to see is how quarterbacks handle frustration. You know, so like, so for instance, at Baylor, Charlie Brewer was a starter my first year after that game four, and the next year I rotated him with a transfer quarterback, and you know, the greatest quarterback parents ever, like never called me, never questioned me, never, and in the end, he kind of was clear he was the starter. He became the starter the rest of the year, that took us to a bowl game, was bowl game MVP the next year, takes us to the Sugar Bowl, takes us to the Big 12 championship. If a quarterback never has a bad day, or he has simulated bad days, so he might have a bad day at practice, but if they know they're the starter, like, I want them to have to fight for it and earn it, you know. And so I heard Eric Spoelstra, there's a thing in, he was talking to guys in the locker room again in the playoffs. He's like, you know, how much he values things that you can't buy and things that you have to earn. And I just like that concept. So I want the quarterbacks to feel like they have the race, and all of a sudden I want the other guy to come along and try to challenge them. I think it'll elevate all of us. And then when we know, we know. But I wouldn't anticipate us saying, hey, this guy is the starter, like today, you know, because I thought all three quarterbacks went out there today and said, hey, I can be the starter. And that's my challenge to the players is stop. Don't worry about, like, where you stand at all positions. Don't worry about how much opportunity you're getting. Just worry about what the tape looks like. Do you look like a Big Ten winning quarterback? Do you look like a Big Ten winning left tackle? Do you look like a Big Ten winning D tackle? And if you do, your time will come. So that's a long, very philosophical answer. But I would say it would take a while because I just think there's so many guys doing good things. I want to give them a fair shot.
So they're not rushing to anointment. That said, that is a good answer for the status quo. And that guys are playing at the level from a capability standpoint of going out and winning the football game for you, not hurting your team. How about Harburg, right? Because that's your question right now. He's got the experience. He won five games for you. Is he truly a different thrower? Is he a better passer? Is he a better quarterback? We know he's a phenomenal athlete, a tough kid, a team kid, and talented. You want him on the field somehow. And where's he at in this this journey here with quarterback coaching under Glenn Thomas? Where's he at? You've heard from him this spring. Let's hear from Rule on where Harburg's been better.
I think Heinrich, his progressions and his just development as a passer is like light years ahead of where it was. I mean, Heinrich can go out there and run, you know, the zone read and the QB power and just, you know, win games for us. But I think his development as a passer, his development in the protections, I think, you know, year two of hearing the same play calls, though there are some that are different, right? But the base genesis of what we're doing is a lot of it's the same. You know, I think you just see a guy that's way more comfortable. And, you know, if you remember last year, you know, they were splitting four reps, right? Now that's three reps, right? And then we're getting more reps this year than we got last year. So with reps, I think, you know, he continues to get better.
That's what you want. You want a guy that is capable, that gets a shot, that gets some confidence developed, and can go out there and do his thing. Dion is in. It's good. The stream folks were worried, where's Dion? He's here. How about Nebraska and the dreaded third down situation? Connor, did you swear out loud, openly, throw beer? Did you throw many fits on third down in Nebraska's third down defense last year?
I'm sure I could say yes to a lot of those instances.
As good as the defense was and how much they had to carry?
Well, yeah, that was the problem because every time I did yell about it, I'm like, well, hold on, wait a minute. They're the reason why they're in this game anyway.
Right?
So I can't get too upset at them, but at the same time, I'm like, oh, my God, it was 38.
Give me one more.
And we had the quarterback wrapped around the legs by four different people, and they still got the first down. It's just like, giving up a third down conversion, even as a fan or just somebody who likes football, is probably one of the most frustrating things about the game.
And, dude, when it's third and seven, third and eight, some of us can remember the years. You had lights-out defense. You had draft picks on the defensive side of the ball. And it was third and eight. It was three wideouts to one side. It was a one back. And you can name the teams with me, Florida State, Washington, Miami. They would get nine on third and eight, the defense playing their ass off. We'll wind down hour one next.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time this hour, plenty thoughts on Saturday's spring game. We'll beat out of the single barrel 8-10 pregame show. Single barrel inside the Graduate, 9th and P. You're invited down. Get some breakfast. Awesome stuff at the single barrel. We'll be there Thursday of this week as well. Roadshow Thursday with Hail Varsity 4-6. A reminder about your friends with the NDOT Highway Safety Office. Use your seatbelt. It saves lives. It prevents injuries. Only if properly worn, make it click. A message from the NDOT Highway Safety Office. A lot to get to with Coach McBride. Uncle Charlie going to join us here in 10 minutes. Thoughts on third down defense, blitzing, four-man rush, NFL draft. What's the number for Nebraska to get back into ranking slash contention conversation. You play and win big games. You get great talent. You develop said talent, and you stack said talent. It's not a great year, one year where you're sending four or five guys to the draft in the first three rounds, and then there's crickets the next year. And it's been kind of a wild run for Nebraska the wrong way with draft picks when you go back to Prince Amukamara. That's 2011.
Bears legend.
That's 2011. That's 2011. Last time Nebraska had a first-round pick. Second-round guy named Levante followed. That was incredible. Check that. Levante went in 20. Yeah, he went in 20.
He's all right.
He's incredible. So, yeah, Levante was second-round guy. A lot of Bo and Kaz's crew from the Malik Collins, Randy Gregory's, Vincent Valentine, second or third round guys, Amir, a second round guy. So Nebraska had NFL dudes. A lot of them were drafted in the Bo era. A lot of them ended up signing. Searles had a great career as an undrafted free agent. So they're out there. Do they get developed? And Nebraska just has had a talent acquisition, talent retention problem, and then a development problem. When you look at the coaching changes, Sue's for sure. Sue's went the year before Prince did as a second pick overall. But
it's been fun to see, and I know he wasn't a first rounder, but it's been fun to see the progression of CTB in the pros.
Cam Taylor was he second or third round?
I believe he was third, second.
We'll have to double check.
But he was one of those two. But
yeah, he was nice. He still is.
He's been fun to watch on the Bengals. Actually, like he makes a pretty big impact, which has been pretty cool to see.
He's that athlete hybrid guy you want on the defensive side of the ball.
Not returning punts though.
Well, you know, KG is second round. Yes, he was second round. And
okay,
remember hearing Zach Taylor saying, "We got my Husker," in the war room. Jay Moore, this week is special for him, as always, because he went to the NFL draft, heard that name, and that got that phone call from the 49ers, which is incredible achievement to get to the league and spend time in the league. So Nebraska's, I think, going to have a flip here moving forward, because Rhule, that's part of what he wants for you. He wants to get guys here, wants to develop them, wants that chemistry and culture to be very real. But then, oh, by the way, you'll get to the point where you can sign a second contract in the NFL and have that reputation as a football factory. You once did, and you did it super well. Juergen's also a second-round guy. Coach McBride's next. Hail Varsity continues.
This is Christian Peter. I'm sorry, but the stories I have about Charlie are not appropriate for the public.
The right case of the Mondays. It's Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, on Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Tower 2. It's Hail Varsity. We're powered by Cornhead Lager, Chris Schmidt, Connor Clark. Elijah is probably buying a new look, throwback logo, Denver Bronco jersey.
The only good one out of the new ones.
It was cool. Those old helmets are something special with the old Orange Crush. Mm-hmm. He is on his way to see Lakers and Nuggets tonight, NBA playoffs game two. We welcome in Mr. Blackshirt, a Monday with Charlie, Coach Charlie McBride, as we gear up for the spring game on Saturday down at the Single Barrel. Coach, how we doing? You feeling all right?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. I had nice weather. I mean, it's getting too nice for me.
It needs to be windy or rainy or something going on, I'm sure, right? Little Saturday Big Ten weather. It always fits you better than most, I suppose. But, well, take the good weather. Take the win, right?
That's right. I tell you what, I was lucky. I got my youngest sons here helping me kind of change our seasons and getting all the furniture and stuff out and get the golf cart rolling. And he's been working all day, and I'm a supervisor. I've been doing laundry. Believe it or not, I've been doing laundry.
I did that twice and was not. I was never asked to do it again. So,
well, it's, I'll tell you what, it's a lot easier because it's a lot lighter.
Uh-huh. I like it. I like it.
Than carrying furniture and everything. But we had a great weekend. We Jared Tomich had his 50th birthday.
Wow.
And his wife had a business called Mix Design and Knits. She has a design barn, which the one section we were in, there's three or four different sections, but the one section that we were in would probably hold anywhere between 250 and 300 people. There were probably 200 plus people there at the surprise party she had for them. And so we went to that, and the food was there wasn't, it was unreal. I mean, it was, you know, everything from oysters to, you know, just to cheesecakes and it was really wild. It was something.
That sounds incredible. I'm sure you had some steak.
No, we got into the seafood. Ooh. and you know, a little bit of Italian food and things like that. But you know, it was one of those things where you get in line and the lines move fast, and you come back to the line again, and then come back again, and it's just, you know, and then you keep saying to yourself, "I got to go try this stuff over here."
And you lose count.
That's good. I like it.
Away from you.
Coach, I want to ask you about the spring game. Now, Saturday's scrimmage, word we have is it was a really impressive day for the quarterbacks, and the best day that the quarterbacks have looked, and quite frankly, the offense has looked. And I know as a defensive guy, you probably don't like hearing that, but Raiola was super impressive, specifically with just making plays during broken plays. And I know that turns dark hair white with defensive folks, but it was pretty cool to hear Coach Rhule talk about just some of the work the quarterbacks have been doing. And I look at it like this. It's a step closer to have a consistent offense that can complement what's been a good defense. And not just Dylan, but there might be some clarity here with there are quarterbacks to pick from. They've really improved, and you've got two young kids that have looked really good early.
Well, I think the important thing is you know, even though I'm on the other side of the ball, I think you're really happy to see the offense do well, because, you know, in games, you game plan a thing, and you're a little bit strapped, you know, playing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And they know you, they get to know, you know, the defense is pretty good and are able to move the ball. They know what, you know, what to do. But the thing, when you say three quarterbacks or two, three quarterbacks had good days, that talks about the offensive line, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you have guys that make plays on, you know, they can't throw the ball, they got to run a little bit. Then you turn into a blocker downfield, and you turn into another kind of athlete. And those are, you know, there's a lot of stuff in that. And those things, you know, sometimes you say, boy, that play was awful, but we got 15 yards on it. And you don't really see till you get the film who's the guy that sprung him for the 15 and things like that. And those are important. I'll tell you, it's, you know, that you have people that are down there doing their business and, you know, getting their job done.
Well, Coach, flip it to the other side, too. Say you're on that defensive staff and you give up that play that was probably broken right from the start, but they still get a first down and 15 yards out of it. How do you bounce back the next play on that defensive unit, knowing that you probably had them stopped on, say, third down, and all of a sudden you're looking at a new set?
Well, you try to, number one is you try to do something, whether it's an inline stunt or whether it's a blitz or whether it's a zone, or depends on what your, you know, zone blitz or, you know, if we had a zone blitz, it's a four-man rush. If we had a fire blitz, five-man rush. And, you know, and you have different things you can do up front just with your base defense as far as making inline stunts. And you try to go with tendencies then and make a play for a loss. Because a lot of times, if you can make a loss or sack the quarterback or do something special, then that usually at least helps slow down the offense for a while, you know. But if they're just better than you, that's too bad. You're in trouble.
Charlie McBride's with us. We're talking spring game Saturday, Hail Varsity Radio, a Monday with Charlie. Coach, I want to talk third down defense because Rule talked about it. And wanted to get your take on getting home with four and also being able to cover on that third and seven with man coverage. How often would you blitz? Did you prefer to blitz on third and medium, third and long?
Well, we were a big pressure team. That's what we did. I mean, when you're talking about four, you're talking about maybe a little bit more inline stunts, or you're talking about the zone blitz where you're just rushing four guys. But you could be dropping your nose. And believe it or not, at one time in my later years there, in I think 99 it was, Steve Horn at one time had three interceptions and had led our team. He was our nose tackle. He led our team in interceptions. So, you know, that zone blitzes are pretty good, and things that will, you know, make it uncommon for the offensive line, and maybe you come up with a sack or you come up with a big play. And third down is something that you really have to spend a lot of time with. And you know, sometimes you get guys that think they're rocket scientists, but it's really a lot of common sense just involved in it. And so, you know, to stand there and do things, be able to adjust, you know, to certain things. If you have a blitz, and for example, and maybe you have three different, four different ways to run it, but it doesn't change the coverage, and they keep the same coverage, for example, and run the blitz different, and you can go in at halftime and change that up front stuff, and you know, maybe they got prepared to block it, some type of blitz that you ran, and then you can change that. Now they're in trouble because they're teaching them something they're not going to see. So you know, there's all kinds of sneaky stuff you can do, and as long as you don't, you know, make bad calls. Stupid penalties. That's what you really want. And you want to be sure that the guys are always attempting to tear the ball out and do the things that, you know, you talk about all the time, is the turnovers and things like that they have in mind. And you'll see guys maybe catch a pass but get the ball knocked out of there, and you know, you even recover a fumble or something like that. And it makes the whole game different. So there's so many avenues that are third down is opens up for the defensive teams. What they can do is, you know, it just depends on what kind of backfield action you're getting out of the quarterback.
Coach Charlie McBride is with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, we were talking last week about how Tony White acknowledged during his press conference that Rule not only got on him, but it seems like a multitude of coaches within a meeting room after that first Saturday scrimmage. Is that something you ever experience as a coach? And what does that tell you about the accountability factor that this staff has?
Well, I think it's a learning experience. You can have a head coach jump all over you. And I think, you know, Frank Kush was, when I was there, was really famous at getting after individuals, coaches, and stuff like that. But, you know, it really helped you. I mean, it was something that it you know, it may sound like it's brutal sometimes, but you know, when head coaches see things that you maybe don't see, just because of their knowledge of the game and things like that, you know, that's really important. And when you can get other coaches, even other offensive coaches, talking about, you know, things that hurt them or do this and that, and you know, there's all avenues to change or to create enthusiasm just by doing maybe something new or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Coach, what are you looking forward to seeing Saturday? What do you want to see with the spring game?
Well, I want to see consistency, and I don't want to see a bunch of illegal procedures and bad handoff. You know, center quarterback exchange. Everybody says, well, that's just common. We got some good that, but you get two or three of those babies, you're going to lose. I want to tell you, that's not a good idea. And that, when I see it, I listen to coaches in college all forever say that, talk about that, and then you turn on a pro game and they're dropping the ball all over the field with the center quarterback. You know, so, you know, the good Lord made it for everybody. And so, but those are the simple things are the things you want to really see, that you've improved the guys improve their techniques, their footwork, you know, their use of their hands, you know, all, I mean, there's so many things you look at it. I personally took spring ball as a teaching session. Mm-hmm. It was all about teaching kids to be better. And whether you won or lose, you know, sometimes you don't like to lose, but you know, you have to still get them ready to play. But the idea of the whole thing is improvement, and that they're trying like heck to do the best they can. And that's another thing. You're going to see some things out of players in a game that has a little bit of juice in it, like the spring game or, you know, an important scrimmage or something. You're going to see some players step up that you didn't know had that in them. And that's always exciting. I mean, that's, you know, when you see a kid, you know, all of a sudden come out of his shell, that's what's really fun about the game, too, when you have this situation in the spring.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what type of performance, consistency, wow, or just normal you get from the quarterbacks. But it was a good day last Saturday for Iola. Sounds like Harburg's coming along, and sounds like Coach Rule was really happy with just where they were, not only making big plays, but making the routine plays on some shorter passing yards.
Let me tell you something. Somebody said, well, you've got to get down to one quarterback. I'll tell you, I'd love to have three quarterbacks that I had to make a decision on.
Sure.
I mean, it's better than just one guy you're going to depend on forever, mm-hmm. or something like that. And you know, but I think the idea that you have different types of people sometimes that change the whole defensive look at the game. Mm-hmm. You know, if you got a guy that can run a little bit, do some things that's scary, and you know, as far as we always said this, if we can find them, we'll kill them. I mean, you know, and I know we lost to Texas the first time, but I think Applewhite was the quarterback at the time, and we played him in the conference championship game, and we changed their whole philosophy of how we played him before. And when we played him before, I screwed the game up with three different calls that cost us the game. And so I learned something there. But the secret of the whole thing is they had an all-league tackle playing, and we had Vandenbosch playing, who was hurt in the first game. And second game, I don't know how many sacks he had. He put this guy to sleep. And so it was a big difference. But we knew one thing. Applewhite was going to be there in the pocket. Mm-hmm. He wasn't going to be running around the field. So if you got some guys that could move around in the pocket and get out of there and cause some trouble and throw on the run, then you got something going.
Coach, we'll check in next week. Thanks for a few minutes today. Oh, it's always fun.
I'll talk to you when you're older.
All right, Coach, you take care.
Thanks for having me, guys. Bye now.
All-State, two-year starter, and rush in for the Big Red, and NFL vet.
Is Dudeness or Duder or, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
It's Blackshirt Jay Moore with Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, the Blackshirt Hour roars forward. Chris Schmidt and Connor Clark. We say hi to Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFLer, thanks to Coach McBride. Last segment, Jay Bird, spring game is here. NFL draft week is here. How you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. Usually I'm on, I'm on at the same time, but we have different.
You're not streaming today. You're not streaming today. Are you in a closet hiding from the...
hectic day. I'll put it that way. It's been a hectic Monday so far.
Are you in the closet hiding from Mom and Junior?
No. Just at home. Getting ready to flag football tonight. We have a couple more games left for the spring flag football, and I don't think we've lost in a couple of years, so we got to withhold our dominance.
I love that. What's Junior playing? Quarterback? Is he counter? Quarterback
everything,
counter?
Everything. It's a five-man flag football, a little running back, a little QB, a little receiver. Play center. We should go out and catch passes, which are about, I think we maybe tried five a game, and I think we've completed maybe four passes total in the last, 2 years. So it's fun. Kids enjoy it. It's something to do in the spring, and they're fun to be around and fun to coach, and it's always kind of something to look forward to on a Monday.
What NFL franchise are they representing?
They are currently the Ravens. Uh-huh. So we've been, this is the fourth time. So we've always been the fall and spring. So I think we've been the Bengals, the Chargers. I think we were the 49ers this past fall. Now we're the Ravens. So it's pretty cool. They do get a nice little reversible jersey that they can wear. So, and the kids, they absolutely love, representing a team. So that it's pretty cool to see them interact with each other. And just we have one of the most competitive first grade groups. I mean, they are, we have to tell them to tone it down a little bit. They just love it. They want to know score. They want to know everything. It's fun when they want to be out there and compete. They're a joy to coach and be around.
Jay, you've seen some Nebraska practices now. Sounds like Saturday was really good for Raiola and the quarterbacks and the offense. From what you've seen, and let's fast forward to Saturday, what do you want to see Saturday? What do you like from what you've seen in person?
Yeah, I think just clean. I don't think you're going to see anything fancy. It's going to be pretty basic. But the main thing, if I remember the spring game last year, and obviously that crept into the season, was the turnovers. I just want to see a clean football game. I think the offense has turned the ball over 7-plus times last spring game. You do not want to see that. I know there's something may happen. You have some younger players play in some instances, but I want to see when the guys who are going to be playing in the fall, I want to look clean. I want to look efficient. I know there'll be mistakes, but that's the main thing. You don't want to see the same stuff that you've seen in what's beaten you the last few years, or really what's beaten you the last decade. And so that's really it. It's clean. It's a glorified scrimmage. You can't get too high. You can't get too low. And I know it's going to be rather vanilla. But you want to see quarterbacks make smart decisions, make the easy throws, complete them, maybe like to see them stretch the field a little bit, take some shots. I'm sure they will. Take care of the football, clean, you know, get the run game going, utilize that. Have some nice play action passes. But, you know, on the other side of the ball, defense, tackle well. They did that. That's the first thing I remember from last spring game, in the first spring with Coach Rule and Coach White, was the defense always seemed to be in position. They tackled well. You want to continue to see that. You just want to continue to see strides of getting better. You want to see the kicking game look clean. I don't know what that's all going to look like with, you know, I know they kind of altered the kickoff last year and punting. All, you just want to see things be clean. Everyone stay healthy, take care of the football. You get in, you get out, and then you get ready for, you know, to finish up the semester strong, and you're ready for summer conditioning.
Jay, we've been talking about it throughout the show, and you kind of got a glimpse of this from that little edit that Husker football posted on social media here today. But the ability of the quarterback, specifically Raiola, to get out of trouble with his arm. Now, we've seen that with, you know, Adrian and a couple of times last year with Jeff Sims. They could get out of trouble with their legs. How much of a difference does it make when your quarterback can throw you out of a jam rather than run you out of a jam?
Yes, I mean, that's nice to have. You always hear about, you know, good quarterbacks can throw guys open, and whether that's on the run or even in a clean pocket. And it's nice to have a guy when you can on the move and just create, right? Obviously, we've had plenty of quarterbacks going all the way back that can create with their legs. Just with the arm, it just has been not as consistent. Now, I'm not saying I'm not ready to anoint anyone yet, but obviously with Danny Kalen and Raiola, you know, those guys are and can spin it really, really well for freshmen. So I'm excited to see that and just see how that kind of transcribes over, you know, throughout the spring game and into the fall. And now, again, I want to be able to rely on the run. We got to be able to run the football. We got to be a downhill team. But it's also nice to have a threat and just know that you have a quarterback that you have to respect his arm and respect the passing game, because that wasn't much of a factor last year. I think we were able to burn some teams on some big plays because the option game was an issue with Heinrich. But the ability to move well in the pocket, to get out of some pressure situations and throw on the move and throw to guys and make high level throws in a couple of glimpses that we saw from the scrimmage, that's something we haven't seen in a while. So again, I don't want to put the cart too far before the horse or get the hopes up too high, but the progression, the evolution, everything, and where they're going, I just like where everything's at right now.
Jay Moore's with his black shirt Husker NFLer at JMoore44 on Twitter, and you watch him with Big Red Wrap Up, co-host of Big Red Wrap Up. Jay, let's talk third downs. Coach Rule touched on it. You've said it for a while. Coach McBride said it as well. You can get creative, but when push comes to shove, you want to be able to just get home with four and not bring five or six. Now, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. And Nebraska statistically was not great. I think the last 5 years in Sammy McEwen's article, since 2019, last in the Big Ten on third down defense. I think eighth this last season, but 45th overall. The only complaint or liability you could have about defense last year was third and seven, third and eight, third and nine, it felt like. And do you think that can be fixed this year?
I think it can be. Yeah. I think for as well as the defense played and played at times, this defense was so good at sudden change and kind of getting itself out of some very peculiar situations. But when, you know, they went on first and second down and have offensive end third and predictable, they just didn't seem to they didn't get up the field when they needed to. And I know that's been a scenario that's been will always be an emphasis, but that's an area where a really good defense last year can improve. It's getting off the field on third down and making stops when you need to make stops. And it's a multitude of things. It's I don't think it's necessarily getting more creative. It probably got to win up front more consistently with the D-line. You're talking Ty, Nash, mm-hmm. Jamari Butler, Princewell, Chief Borders, Cam Lenhart, you know, a lot of those guys we saw last year, Raleigh Van Poppel, those guys up front, Judy, you got to win. You got to win your 1-1 games. I think year two with Coach Knighton understanding protections a little better and kind of know who's going to have the 1-on-1 blocks and kind of setting them up for that and setting guys up for success to win 1-on-1 to get home. And it's not always a sack. It's just getting around the quarterback, making them uncomfortable, throwing off that timing. Mm-hmm. But then again, so you have that, and then it's communication on the back end. It's communication with the corners and the linebackers and the safeties and the linebackers and understanding route trees and concepts and where offenses are trying to attack you in certain coverages and disguising things and knowing when to get creative and knowing when to hide things and disguise things and know when not to. So I think just year two, that will, you know, that should show up better. But it's just not as easy as saying, yeah, they got to win with four. Yeah, they need to probably blitz more. There's a lot that goes into it, but it's just everyone just got to get a little bit better. Those D linemen got to kind of find a rush that they can lean on when they need to get to win a 1-on-1 battle. You don't have to have a multitude of rushes. You just have one rush. You know, you can get a guy with gang air every time. Communication's got to be a little better, and guys just got to know we're going to get attacked when you're in certain situations. So all that involved, I would like to think that it's going to be a much improved defense when it is third down and time to get off the field and get that ball back in the offensive hands.
Jay Moore's with us. Jay, I've got about 90 seconds for a hard break. Can we squeeze one more question in with you?
Yeah, you bet.
All right. When it comes to this week, the NFL draft, Nebraska may not have a name called, and that's not been the norm around here. Did you show up to Nebraska and get turned into a draft pick, or is that something that, okay, you're at Nebraska, you're going to get looked at to be a draft pick?
I think I got turned into a draft pick. Now, I think I was given some God-given abilities. You know, I was a long, athletic kid who could run. That's stuff that you just – that's not developed. That's just God-given talent. But you have to – I had to become tougher. I had to understand a defensive end position that I never played in high school. So I was definitely developed into that. It helped that we were – you know, we weren't, you know, what I knew as a kid in middle school. You know, we were a good program. You know, we played for Big 12 championships and won bowl games and played for, you know, played meaningful games in October and November. But I was definitely developed. And it's a mix of everything. You have to have the God-given talent, but you also have to be developed because it's a whole other level coming from high school to college and college to NFL. So it's a nice mix of everything. But there was no way I stepped on the field day one and I was an instant NFL draft pick. I had to be developed. I had to be coached hard. I had to be toughened up. I had to mature mentally, physically. You go through you name it. I had to do all of it. And, you know, a lot of that to Coach Blake, Coach Cosgrove, Coach Callahan, you know, Coach Solich, and, you know, even just being around Bo Pelini for 1 year as defensive coordinator and just the way he understood defense and effort. All those people need to be recognized just for my development and get me to be even recognized to get drafted at that level.
Jay, we'll let you go. I know you got a football game to get to. Thanks for giving us a few minutes today, bud.
Yep, you got it. Thanks, guys.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Big thanks to Jay Moore. Good stuff. Good comments on, do you show up a draft pick, you get made into one. And Jay Moore, hear that whole thing on the podcast, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play with Hail Varsity Radio. Give us a rating. Good, bad, or ugly, we'll take it. Also tell a friend and like and subscribe to the Hail Varsity YouTube channel. Chris Schmidt, Connor Clark, Elijah Herbel is off in Denver getting ready for the Nuggets Lakers, and he should be... We'll probably see him end up going courtside. He will dirty his way into courtside, but should be lower bowl, pun intended, for all those friends out in Colorado after the weekend.
Yeah.
Mm. But good from Jay, good from Coach McBride, and in hour one, David Gustafson, some Husker baseball thoughts. We'll hear more from Matt Rhule. Big topic, yes, the offense, yes, what Raiola did, how good he and the quarterbacks looked on Saturday. We spent a lot of time on that. But the third down defense, a topic of discussion as well. We'll have plenty of NFL thoughts as well. And that will be for sure this week. As a reminder, we are going to be at the Single Barrel Thursday Roadshow. Hail Varsity out on the road Thursday in Lincoln at the Single Barrel inside the Graduate, 9th and P. So come on down, say what's up. We'll be there Saturday morning as well. Pre-game in front of the spring game, 8 to 10 Saturday morning. Make sure you get your seats, get your reservations, get locked in Friday night for the Herdat Sports Bar and Grill. Get there for the Team Jack event. Going to be awesome. Kenny Bell, Amir Abdullah, and Nate Gary there. So that'll be just fantastic. That gets going around 5:30 at the Herdat Sports Bar and Grill in La Vista, the La Vista location right next to the folks at Embassy and, again, Costco. So
feels like fall with all these plans we got.
Well, hey, we're not up there Friday, but the event is just incredible. So get your seat. All proceeds go to Team Jack and fighting pediatric brain cancer. So be a part of it if you're up that direction, or just make plans for it Friday night up at Herdat Sports Bar and Grill. So Steven chimes in when Elijah comes back. He's supposed to be back for the show tomorrow. Elijah needs a reasonable suspicion test when he returns. We don't have reasonable suspicion tests. At least
I guess we could,
but we're not going to put him through that. He may stay out in Denver for all we know, but check the podcast and come find us at Single Barrel or get up to Herdat this Friday. So, okay, let's hear from Rhule, asked about third downs, and it's maddening, right? You're in the stands, you're losing your mind, you're in a game of consequence against a team you want to beat and you haven't beat for forever, if you're a Nebraska fan.
Probably freezing.
Right? You might be cold. You might be buzzed based on our Friday. How'd you sneak in the old seat warmer?
Which could be a good thing or make you more upset.
You could be really frustrated. And we look at Nebraska's third down performance, right? Against Minnesota, 8 of 17 in a 13-10 ball game, specifically the last 3 minutes of that ball game. Maryland was 2-9, but they got the one of those nine conversions on that final drive, that 3rd and 8. Wisconsin 7 of 15, they just wore you out with their little slot guy. Iowa was 8 of 17, 3 field goals and 1 touchdown, and it was a 3rd and short that they got that did you in. Now, to be fair with these percentages here, 42% conversion on third down. Sparty, I thought, was a killer. They weren't, as I go back and look. I think Sparty was 2 for 9.
That game was just frustrating.
It was, because they'd hit you with a 20-yarder, a 46-yarder, and then the halfback pass by Alante Brown.
Right.
That was not a touchdown. So you give up truly 13 points. But it's just sickening if you give up 10 to 13 points, or they're all field goals, or they're all sudden change field goals for the most part, and you don't win because your offense just couldn't get anything done for you. Sparty was 3 of 14, forgive me.
Jeez.
1 for 1 on fourth down.
Jeez.
But that game specifically is we're there, and it's just not going your way with the big plays, and then they'd get a third down at a back-breaking time. You were great all game.
I know.
And you need 2 or 3 more stops. So here is Rhule on what needs to happen on third down for this defense to make a jump. It's 4-man rush. It's man coverage.
Yeah, so third down defense, to me, if everything's pressure, you're never going to be great. You have to have the ability to rush with 4, and you have to have the ability to third and 3 to 6, you have to be able to play man. You know what I'm saying? You have to be able to line up and play man. And you can't have a guy that, like, hey, like, you know, Wisconsin put Spalding at, you know, number three, or I think it's his name, and he, you know, kept winning on option routes. You have to have the ability to play man versus all the bunches and stacks. And then when he gets to longer yardage, have the ability to rush four and get home. And one of the things in the Big Ten, at least last year, you know, you had Tanner Mordecai, you had all these guys who could get out of the pocket and run, so you have to defend that too. So it's getting great rushers who are also disciplined enough to keep guys in the pocket, the ability to play man, and then still have the pressure package. Like, Tony's always going to create chaos. But on third and seven, third and, and if you look back to last year, like halfway through the year, Sam, we weren't doing great, and then we got ourselves down even lower. We have to make like an 8% jump. I think we're like at 38 in that range. We've got to get down into like the 20s, like the high 20s, to be a dominant defense. I'm more of the, you know, like, I just want to be great on third and like 7+. That's the ones that kill you to me. Like, because then people think they can do it. Like, third and 7+ against us, I want to have such an elite pass rush that people just say, you know what, check the ball down, run the ball, like, don't get a sack fumble. That's the evolution. And then the final thing is just getting people in third down more. Like, we look a lot at the number. I'll also point out to our guys, like, great defenses, they're in third down 20 sometimes a game. You know, great offense, great bad offense defenses, they're in it, you know, 10 times a game. So you got to get people to third down. On offense, like, it's not just a percentage. It's, you know, sometimes on offense people will say, like, you know, we're 50%. Yeah, but you were 11 for 22. You can't be in 22 third downs and win college football. You got to be 4 for 8. So, the numbers are good, but defensively, I think, you know, those three things are areas that we're really working on. You need a 4-man rush.
You do. You get home with four. It's a, you know, you're able to get home with four when you have a guy like Gregory or Malik on the interior, Vincent. Avery Moss was really good off the edge. I mean, that front four Nebraska had 10, 11 years ago was nice. Of course, Sue and Crick, big time. Pierre Allen was great as well. But if you just get one game wrecker, the other three can eat. You get two, you're having fun. Coach McBride was talking about the Mad German. That's what I call my dog, Dirty Gertie.
I was going to say, are you talking about Gertie?
No, I mean, Gertie, the German, could be great off the edge, but the Mad German, as he was nicknamed, Vandenbosch, was just psycho off the edge. And then you had Steve Warren in the middle. You had Jason Wiltz. You had Mike Brown. So you had dudes that, as we fast forward, all heard their name called. on day one of the draft, or second round or third down.
Correlation.
Third round. We'll wind down a Monday next on Hail Varsity.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time, get the podcast, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play with Hail Varsity. You can subscribe that way. It doesn't cost you anything, or the Hail Varsity YouTube channel at HVarsity Radio for Twitter. That's Connor Clark at C_Clark_27 at Schmidt_Radio. Elijah may or may not be back tomorrow. We're hoping he's back from Colorado. We'll get ready to rock and roll on the show. Bill Bender's Sporting News, NFL Draft Thoughts. Michael Bruntz from Husker 24/7 Sports tomorrow. Mitch Sherman on the show. As well as we gear up for more spring football thoughts. We'll hear about the running backs from Coach Barthel tomorrow. And Satterfield, his take on the quarterbacks, sure he'll be asked about. We'll ask about the quarterbacks and how they looked in the scrimmage. Kind of laid out from what we were able to gather on how good a day it was for Dylan and company. That's encouraging. That's what you want to hear from a five-star quarterback. This soon, although it may be too soon for many five-star quarterbacks, and anxious to see how things roll out Thursday. And I know you're holding your breath, true or false, on Thursday night with the Bears' first pick and ninth pick.
I mean, not really. Ninth pick
holding
is
your breath that it's gonna work out.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And you should have seen. I'm pretty sure I have a video of it somewhere of. Me and one of my other buddies is a Bears fan, and everybody else in the room took a video of us reacting to the Bears picking Justin Fields after they traded up in 2021, and that was a big freak out. Not as much drama this time around because everybody knows it's going to be Caleb Williams, but for the love of God, please work out. There have been so many quarterbacks in Bears history, and everybody knows this, that have been disappointing, straight up not good.
Cade McNown?
I mean...
Was he with the Bears before you were born? Former Bruin quarterback? Maybe. Or was he with the Vikings?
I don't think he was a Bear. But when you're a quarterback, and I say this to everybody who doesn't really understand the pain that the Bears have gone through when it comes to quarterbacks, no disrespect to wherever he is, but when Jay Cutler is your best quarterback statistically of all time, that's when you have a problem. So hopefully this can be the turning point to something new and exciting. And I don't know. I'm excited to see. I'm excited to see what they do with the ninth pick as well. Maybe get an outside weapon, maybe bow up the defense a little bit more. It's going to be an exciting night for Bears fans, I think.
Well, and all you need to know is Arizona cutting bait on Josh Rosen so they could go get another number one pick. They did that, and Murray's been nice for him when he's been healthy.
I never understood the Josh Rosen hype.
Well, he's super talented, but just I think his own team may have – code redded him a time or two because they couldn't stand the guy. But what you do have is in the last draft that had five of the first 15 picks, this is the year after COVID, this is the 2021 draft, Zach Wilson has moved on, Trey Lance has moved on, Fields absolutely moved on to Pittsburgh, Mac Jones moved on.
That's wild. I didn't really think about that.
So the new norm is if you screw up on your quarterback and he ain't the guy after a couple of years.
Get out.
Reshuffle the deck.
I guess.
Reshuffle the deck. Back at you tomorrow at 4 on Hail Varsity, powered by Cornhead Lager. Thanks for tuning in.